The Unified Government of Wyandotte County now has its first Chief Knowledge Officer. That means he'll oversee technology in the county, the 311 Service Center, and a mapping group. You may remember that the county was the first home to high-speed Google Fiber. But there's a particular challenge that Chief Knowledge Officer Alan Howes faces, and that is this. 34% of KCK's households still don't have internet service. So what's the point? Alan Howes is a former strategy consultant and fellow with IBM's Center for the Business of Government, and he brings years of public service experience to Wyandotte County. And Alan, welcome.
Steve, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
If you're the Chief Knowledge Officer, that means you're a smart guy, right? I bet you get that all the time.
Actually, my kids call me Chief Know-It-All. They're quick to make fun of me. You know, kids always do that.
So how do you implement high-tech initiatives in a place where a third of households in Wyandotte County still don't have internet access?
Yeah, and I'll just start by saying, I mean, I think the elected leadership of the community really recognized both the opportunities and the challenges that come with having a digitally connected community, and it ranges from everything from education to economic development. So several years ago, when Mayor Mark Holland ran for office, one of his top three priorities was innovation and open data, and that has translated into action by the administration in the county government to establish this Chief Knowledge Officer position and to really I think push the envelope in thinking about how do we deliver better customer services and how do we take steps to close this digital divide.
How do you close it? A third of your residents don't have it.
Yeah, no, it's a tough challenge, and it's one that you see in communities across the country. And I say, you know, there isn't a single.
Not many as severe as Wyandotte County, though.
Well, that's true. That's true. And if there were easy answers, I think they would have been done already. It is one of those, you know, it's a complex problem. So you've got the challenge, for example, of absentee landlords. So when Google came in and set up their fiberhoods, they were offering to come in and connect for a very low fee into households.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if tenants necessarily in some cases would want that, if they can't get the permission from a landlord, and this may be an absentee landlord or somebody who's just not interested in that, in paying that, you know, that small connection charge, then it becomes very hard to connect. So, you know, that was sort of phase one. And now I think we're getting into really thinking about, is wireless an opportunity? Are there other ways to get around some of these barriers to really provide that digital connectivity?
Is wireless the next frontier here?
Well, it's one of them, and you know, I'd say it's one of the in the toolkit. And you think about another piece, you know, just go back to Google for a second. When they came in, they said, we'll connect up 130 public spaces across the community for free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so have gone through a multi-year process to get connections into you know, housing authority places, into senior living areas, into community centers, and provide public spaces where people can get access.
I'm just wondering, you know, I don't want to stereotype anybody here, but whenever you're talking about poorer communities, you know, these are folks who are just trying to survive week in and week out. And the notion of a computer in the house and internet access might be as foreign to them as an automatic garage door opener. They just doesn't fit their lives given their circumstances. Is education and helping people recognizing the potential of what Google Fiber or a computer or internet service, fast internet service might mean, is that part of the challenge here, I assume?
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that. One of the things that we see is that even though so people don't necessarily have desktops, almost everybody or a lot of people have smartphones. And so the way people access content now has shifted in a lot of ways across all socioeconomic classes from consuming on a desktop to really consuming on mobile devices, whether it's a phone, whether it's a tablet. And so, you know, part of the challenge is rethinking how we offer and deliver government services in those platforms so that people can take advantage of that.
That's interesting. Again, I thought one promise of Google Fiber, and you've addressed this a little bit here, was that some of these residents who are poor would be getting low-cost fiber, no-cost fiber, and that might begin to change their prospects down the road. Has Google Fiber lived up to that promise?
Well, I'd say I'll use the new guy card on that one and say that, you know, I've been here for 6 weeks and I've had a chance to talk to a lot of folks in the community, including Google, and I think, you know, they're there's a lot of credit that goes to any organization that puts themselves out there, takes a risk, takes a chance. You know, I'd say that there have been successes and challenges along the way. And that's true, whether it's you're talking about the digital divide, it's also true when you think about the entrepreneurial community and, you know, I'd say the sort of fits and starts that have come along with trying to grow a homegrown technology economy. And really, and this week highlighted some real successes of that with one of the companies going, you know, getting purchased for $100 million. So mm-hmm. you do see, you see the opportunities and you see the challenges, and I think those will always be there.
You know, just to be clear, KCK is one of the worst 25 connected cities. Not in Kansas, not in the metro, but across the country, according to the National Digital Inclusion Alliance. It's a pretty remarkable stat.
Well, and I think it highlights, again, the need for a creative set of solutions, really, to think about how do we address this and how do we, again, meet people where they are. Is that wireless? What are the ways that we can begin to give people the tools so that they can fully participate in the digital economy?
So your focus early on, Alan, has been what exactly?
Well, so it's I'd say it's threefold. One is, you know, there's a great opportunity for operational improvements in how the unified government delivers services to residents. So we're really looking at how do we work across departments to really unlock the solutions that employees have. I don't come in from the outside and say I've got all the answers. It really is the answers reside in the organization, and so it's really helping to unlock that, to work across departments so that we can do things like make it easier to interact with government, to get the information you need, as well as to get, you know, make payments and get those services that are important to residents.
Is there one problem you've worked on that maybe brings this down to a basic level that people can grasp that might shed some light on what it is that the chief knowledge officer of WICO does?
Sure. And I'll give you a personal example from moving here with my family from Virginia.
Yeah.
And you know, the challenge when you come into a new community of getting set up, of getting your, you know, driver's license, of getting, you know, your purchasing a home, doing, you know, the taxes, all that kind of stuff. And it is, I'll just say, it's not a simple process. It requires multiple steps and it requires you to go to multiple places. And for, you know, people who don't have the same, just say, flexibility that I and my wife do, that's taking a day off work multiple times in order to just get the basic services that you're required to get from your government. So, you know, It's a simple example, but I think it highlights the opportunities we have to really improve that customer service.
So if you can get rid of that, maybe enable people to do that in the evenings from the comfort of their homes, that's where you'd like to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really interesting. You're the first one to take this position in KCK. Do you have any sense of how this position came to be? I mean, why was it an important role to fill here?
Sure. And as I mentioned, I think a lot of credit goes to Mayor Holland and, you know, really making this one of his signature initiatives. And then that was picked up, and that direct policy direction was set by the commission and the mayor. That's picked up by the appointed county administrator and really set into motion. And so it is somewhat unique in terms of communities across the country, this model of putting into one department information technology, your mapping capabilities, which is an incredibly powerful analytic tool.
What does that mean?
It means if you think of a community, its identity is created by the boundary, in a sense. So, and this is true for any jurisdiction, right? And almost everything that the government does in that jurisdiction is connected to some sort of property or, you know, street address or something like that. So the ability to use spatial technology and mapping to really identify both opportunities for improvement, but also analysis for, you know, how can we tackle some of these challenges? How can we begin to visualize patterns that might help us to drive better solutions.
It could be we're getting a lot of 911 calls from one certain part of the city. It could be we're having trash problems. You figure out it's in a two-block area. Am I seeing all that correctly there, Alan?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. And I'll just give you a tangible example, too. I mean, one of the challenges is blighted properties, and there's a number of those in the community. And there's efforts underway across unified government to think about how do we address that challenge. And so we can take data from multiple departments. We can put that lay that up sort of against each other and visualize on a map where are the pockets where this is most challenged? How has it moved over time? And really gives you the tools and the policymakers, elected officials, the tools to make better decisions.
There's all this talk across the country about smart cities and how technology can begin to transform cities, whether it's through the basic thing like synchronized traffic signals or sensors on those large trash bins that tell crews when they're full and need emptying. Some folks insist the possibilities are endless. Some critics have said that all this is a bunch of hooey. What can you say to convince people here that this is an area rich with potential?
Sure. One way to think of it is really think of it as data as a natural resource, and it's a new and emerging natural resource. So just as clean water and electricity really fundamentally changed cities 100 years ago, 120 years ago, the same potential holds for using information on everything from how do we make our water system more efficient. So instead of losing 50% of the water that runs through a system through leaks, maybe we can reduce that to 10% and save a lot of money on infrastructure and cost. How can we apply that to trash pickup, to population health? So you really, once you shift how you think about using data and information to help across this full range of areas, it really is an exciting time for cities.
Alan Howe is the new Chief Knowledge Officer of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County, is my guest. What are some of the ideas that have you most excited, Alan?
Well, I think, as I said, providing folks the opportunity to have an easier interaction with government so that, one of the challenges is the trust in government at all levels is really at almost all-time lows. You can look at research from the Pew Center and others, and you see it at federal, state, and local levels. The erosion of that trust has a direct impact on the ability of communities to make investments that improve the quality of life. So by doing things like making data open and transparent, we can enhance the trust that people have that their hard-earned tax dollars are actually getting put to good use in the community.
How much of an advantage did you have with Google Fiber already being in place? Again, KCK being the first city in the country to get it. How big of a leg up was that?
Well, I think it'd be hard in some ways to overstate the signal that sent and the boost that gave to the community. And I think it really, in addition to the direct benefits that it's had in terms of connecting up houses, it's had an indirect benefit on bringing into competition into the marketplace. So now other providers, AT&T and others, are providing much higher speeds at much lower cost. It's provided a whole cascade of effects in terms of helping to support the growth of a startup community that wasn't necessarily there before. So the direct benefits are measurable. The indirect benefits, I think, are in some ways very difficult to calculate, but are very important.
You also have said this about the challenges of working in government. You said, and I'm quoting here, "What makes government so interesting to me is that there are so many considerations that are incredibly rich and complex. You're trying to balance the needs and desires of the community, trying to protect health and safety, trying to drive economic growth and deliver basic services to residents. Putting all of those pieces together is an endlessly interesting challenge." So I'm wondering, how do you do that? How do you do that right, this balancing together of all these different pieces?
And that is the million-dollar question.
That's what keeps you awake at night, right?
And I suspect I'll have a lifetime career of trying to solve that challenge. It's what it's what drove me to seek public service, and it really animates why I'm interested in it. And you know, I think when you lay those factors out, it does change over time too. You may, you know, the things you need to focus on today may be different than what you need to focus on tomorrow. And the groundwork and the infrastructure, in a sense, that you can put down today, and whether that's, you know, fiber, and just using the example of dark fiber that hasn't been lit up, you know, putting that under a street today, you may not tap into that for another 5 years.
What's dark fiber?
It's fiber strands that are not lit up. In a sense. So
it might be down the road.
Might be down the road, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can come in, and when you put a conduit in, you dig up a road to put a new water line in, you know, put some conduit in there. And again, you may not use it for another 5 years, but when you do, all you have to do is go in there and hook it up. You don't have to spend millions of dollars to dig it up. So it really is, by thinking ahead and laying the groundwork today, we can really position the community for a lot of success down the road.
Just quickly, why are you doing this kind of work, Alan? What drove you to this?
You know, it's interesting, and I've always had an interest in public service, and I'll circle back. So I said I'm from Virginia, and I've had the opportunity since 2000 to know Tim Kaine, who's now mm-hmm. the vice presidential nominee.
He's from out here, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. He's from Kansas City, Kansas, and has been a fixture in Virginia for a long time, and have both learned from him and I think share a similar sort of philosophy about doing all the good you can in all the ways you can. And so, you know, that is something that is fundamental to me, and it's really, this is a tremendous, exciting opportunity to be out here, to be part of the community, and to really, you know, try and make a difference.
Alan House is the Chief Knowledge Officer, the first one for the Unified Government of Wyandotte County. Welcome to the area. So good to have you here, Alan.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.